Welcome, foolish mortals.
Time to be turning around. If only you could.
Cause this here's the wildest ride in the wilderness.
Henry, what's holding you up? Let's get on with the show. We can't hang around here all day.
Ladies and gents, this is the moment you've waited for.
There's no turning back now.
This is the greatest show.
Now it's time for the WDW Beyond the Gates podcast with your hosts, Michael Hurley and Gary Aruda.
That's right. This is the Beyond the Gates podcast, episode number 277. I'm your host, Gary, joined as always by my co-host and my cousin down in sunny Southwest Florida. Mike, how you doing today, Mike?
Mr. Klinsman, I have a blister.
A blister?
Yeah, my thumb.
On your thumb from golfing too much?
Yeah.
You should never get a blister on your thumb. That means you're gripping the club too hard.
Oh, okay.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Dive a little better. Dive a little better.
Playing too much golf, you're getting injuries. You got to like soak it in some Epsom salts or something.
I'm just going to see if I have that white tape. I might just wrap it a little bit. It's not bad. It's just annoying.
I'm going to go the Gary Woodland style, just tape the fingers?
Yeah, probably.
Now, how come no one ever talked about how, like, he's the coolest dude on tour and everyone loved him until he won the U.S. Open? That's what I want to know.
I don't know.
Do you notice that? Now he's like, oh, this is, like, the best guy. Everyone likes him.
Tony Maserati didn't even know who he was.
Well, he was my dark horse.
I mean, if you don't know who Gary Woodland is, you shouldn't be talking about it on a sports radio show.
It's fine. I mean, I get, like, if somebody, like, he's a top 30 golfer in the world, isn't he? He's got to be at least top 50.
He won in Scottsdale.
Well, in 2018. Yeah, last year. I'm not saying he's like the best golfer ever, obviously. He's only won 3 times. Now this is his 4th, but I mean, I think he's a pretty decently well-known guy. He plays a lot of tournaments. He hits it forever. He bombs it. Yeah, if you're just a casual golf fan, but if you're a casual golf fan, who do you know? Rory, right. Ricky Fowler, Sergio and Tiger, and Phil? Spieth?
Like, David, who else? Dave Ledbetter.
David Ledbetter. Danny Fleetwood. Like, no, but there's not a lot of guys. Like, there's not a lot of big name, household name guys. Even Brooks Koepka, I don't think he's like a household name if you're not a golf fan. You know, casual person who's flipping through the channels and they come across golf and they see Brooks Koepka, there's probably only a 50-50 shot they're going to know who it is. You know, if it's Sergio, Phil, Tiger, Rory, one of those kind of guys, yeah, more people are going to know him. Those are more household names. So certainly Gary Woodland doesn't fall into that category of being a household name.
You know who else everybody knows?
Who's that?
Bernhard Langer.
Bernhard Langer. It's funny that I was listening to that golf podcast that I talk about, and they mentioned, like, you can't say Gary Woodland without just saying Gary Woodland. You can't say Woodland or just Gary. Like, it has to be Gary Woodland.
Right.
All those other people I listed, I listed one name. You could say Rory, you know who I'm talking about. Sergio, Tiger, Phil, even Spieth. You know, you could either say first or last, but you can't just be like, oh, Woodland. How's Woodland doing? Like, what the hell are you talking about?
Oh, Jason Gary Day. Woodland. You got to use the Jason and the Day together, too.
Yeah, exactly. Right? There's some guys that you need the whole name.
Jason Granted, Day. There's no Day, so if you just said Day, pretty much everybody would know who you're talking about.
Right, but it just rolls off the tongue differently, as I guess is the point.
Yes.
It's just kind of one of those things. I understand, though, because if they started just saying, oh, look how good Gary's doing, they would assume they're talking about me, like on national TV. Oh, are they talking about the host of the Beyond the Gates podcast? I didn't think he was playing in this tournament. It would just be way too confusing for the listeners and the viewers out there.
No, I agreed.
So I understand. I've kind of co-opted the Gary. I should have saved my picks, though, from the PGA. I should have just repeated them and done Woodland and Koepka. I would have seemed like a genius, huh?
Yeah, you would have.
I'm still going to take half credit for that. But that's okay. What else is new with you? How's your golf game? You said you struck it well.
I hit the ball pretty well.
Now, golf's a funny game because within two messages, you told me you struck the ball very well and that you also threw your 60-degree wedge into a tree.
I thinned it on a par five. I hit a decent third shot at the stick, but it caught the bunker, and then I thinned it into the other bunker.
You were not happy about that.
And then I chunked it, and it barely got out of the bunker, and it was on the fringe, and I gave it a toss, and my cousin's just shaking his head. I go, "You knew that was coming." He goes, "It had to." He goes, "It had to come."
I don't.
And you go from thinning it to chunking it in the bunker. Beep.
I don't like to throw clubs anymore. I used to throw them.
It wasn't like an angry one. It was just kind of a. It wasn't like a I hope this breaks.
I was like a disgusted get this thing away from me.
Yeah, it wasn't like a where it stuck into the ground or anything.
It was like the half, like you just like throw it end over end away from you towards the cart. Yeah,
yes,
that's okay. That I can get on board with that. It's like when you hit a bad drive and you just like helicopter the thing out.
Yeah, you pretend like it slipped out of your hand. I did one of those too. I pull hooked one and it'd be just.
Yeah, throwing clubs is I don't like to throw them. I'll do the little disgusted toss away, but I'm not doing a full throw anymore. I've graduated beyond that. Not that my game has gotten better. I think just my temperament has gotten. Mm-hmm. I expect so much less of myself on the golf course that I don't care enough to throw it. I used to get angry playing golf. I don't know why. I was never good. I don't know why I expected myself to play angry. I don't know. I don't get it. I mean, I do get it. But it just when I used to get really angry, it would ruin like the next two holes for me. Now I don't care.
Oh, that's a beauty right there, Birds.
Birds.
He likes it when I do that. On 18, he hit a kill to drive. Oh, you saved the best swing for the last hole, Birds. And
he starts laughing.
Yes.
Is he a good golfer?
Yeah, he used to be a single handicap. He's really in the 90s like me, but you know, he'll put together three or four pars in a row and then
so you guys are comparable to each other.
Yeah, it's not like he's shooting like 72 and I'm up there struggling to 91.
Right. That's good. Do you guys play like a best ball like $2 Nassau or anything?
We don't do any of that stuff.
Now, is the course, do you guys play in like 3 hours? Is the course dead when you go out there?
We were around 3.5, but that's we ended up letting a single play through, and then we talked to him for probably 15 minutes on the par three, so
yeah.
That took up some time.
But it's slow enough where they're not like forcing you to join up with another twosome.
No, nope.
That's good. Sometimes you don't mind it, but sometimes it's nice just to go and play, you know.
Like the group we caught, and there were like three twosomes in a row, and we were just on these guys, and the group behind us were on us because we were just clashing with that foursome.
Right.
So we come up to a par three, and they're just sitting there like, "You want to join us?" And we're like, "Yeah." I'm like, "Because we're either joining you or the group behind us, because we got three twosomes, and we're going to have to eventually make a four."
Right.
But they were good guys. Like, I hate when you play with people and they don't talk to you. That's the worst.
Or they're like super serious.
Yeah.
We played, when I went to Myrtle Beach, 11 years ago. I think that's when it was. Because we went like 2 weeks after you got married. I remember that. So this is coming up on your 11th anniversary, correct?
Yep.
Yeah, so that's a long time ago. 11 years ago, we went to Myrtle Beach and I was playing golf with my father. We went early morning and the first day we got hooked up with this guy, he was a single. He was like a sales guy from New Jersey. He was doing something. I don't know. He just played by himself. He was there with his wife or something, and she didn't play golf, so he just went out. Really nice guy, you know, good temperament. He wasn't a great golfer, just kind of like us, was having fun, joking around. Great. Enjoyed the round. Second day we went out, we got like grouped up with this husband and wife. And you get to like the first tee, and the husband's taking like 95 practice swings.
Oh no!
He's one of those angry golfers. He hits the bad shot. He starts like swearing at himself and like making everything awkward. And then the wife was like that. But the good thing was like she started like giving him a hard time. Like she was like the cool one, and she was like joking to us about how he's like being a jerk and everything. So that kind of eased the tension a little bit, but he was miserable to play with.
Not the type of guy where you might want to hit a provisional here, Bards.
You got to have trouble finding that one, Bards.
You see, if we joined up with somebody at Disney, I'm like, do it, do it. No, 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 you do it. No, you do it.
That would be so... Imagine that, though, if we're the three of us and we join up with a single and he just gets sucked into our world of being total nonsense.
He becomes a clown.
Or he just, like, drives away from... Oh, you know what? No, the wife's calling me. I gotta go... I got a fast pass at Splash Mountain in 7 minutes. He just drives off the course. It would only go one of two ways.
It'd be great if he took it back to his foursome, though, like in New Jersey.
Just starts doing it.
Wherever he's from.
Yeah.
Hey, I met these three idiots down at Disney. Pew.
Pew. Just every time they top one, pew. He even does, like, the bass guitar with his, like, sandwich. Pew. We're messed up. Do you want to hear about my unofficial beer sponsor of the week this week?
Yeah.
So this is actually, I believe it's a malt beverage. I don't even know. It's an Arnold Palmer Spiked. It's half iced tea, half lemonade, and alcohol. 5% alcohol.
Oh, Bill.
I don't know if it's a beer. It's not beer because it's not fizzy. I don't know. Yeah, it's a malt beverage with natural flavors containing alcohol. So I don't even know how they make it. It's not that good, though. It's like the worst of all. Like, it's like if you had a bad lemonade, a bad iced tea, and a bad alcoholic beverage mixed together, that's what you get.
Oh, you're not liking it, huh?
It's okay, but nothing, like, is good about it. It's like they all taste kind of just a little off, I guess. Like, if you ordered this as a mixed drink at a restaurant,
you'd
be like,
happy.
You'd be like, yeah, it's a little off.
Yeah,
but
that's
just,
a beauty right there.
Just coming out of a can, you're like, oh, I guess I just got to deal with it. But it's got Arnold Palmer on the can, hitting a wedge shot. He doesn't look like he's going to throw his wedge, though, after that.
Nah, he's puring it, huh?
He looks happy with that one, Pards. Anything else you want to talk about here, or should we take a little breaky?
Yeah, we can take a break right here. Four right, four right.
Back from break on the WDW Beyond the Gates podcast, episode number 277. And we're talking about everyone's favorite topic in the Disney community. And that is price increases. And every time Disney does it, which is like, what, at least once a year, maybe twice a year, they raise ticket prices.
Just a 2020 announcement of the ticket prices.
But people lose their freaking minds like it's never happened before. And I get it. Like, you start getting some sticker shock on some things, and the prices are getting up there, but it's not like this is the first time it's like, oh my god, Disney raising prices? I've never heard of such a thing. I don't know. The indignation of certain people about the price raising makes me scratch my head. Now, if you want to talk about if it's still worth it, to you, if you can get the value out of your money or if you can afford it, that's a different conversation. But to get, like, mad that they're raising prices where prices go up, I don't know. Does gas prices go up, price of milk goes up. When you go to the restaurant, it costs more now than it did 5 years ago, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everything goes up incrementally. You want to raise every year from your job. That all gets factored into it, you know? You know, people come in and they don't like that some of our prices go up year over year, but I work there. I want to get a raise. The people I work with want to get a raise.
Oh, you're greedy.
Yeah. Sorry. I didn't know I was greedy. I should just give it back so a guy can save 6 cents on his bag of grass seed.
Mm-hmm.
That's fair.
Mm-hmm.
That's fair. Okay. That is fair. I don't know. I figured it was a good thing. You know, people, the economy, works that way, but I didn't realize. We can always change that. I'll go back to my boss tomorrow and ask him to deduct my pay so the prices can go down. Because that's the thing, too. Like, the unions just got a deal, right, through Disney World, where they're going to start making, like, $15 an hour or something.
Yeah, I thought that's what everybody wanted, right?
That's what it seemed like. The vast majority of people were all for Disney doesn't pay their workers, so now they start paying them more.
And they send them to college. Did you see that?
Right. That's a nice thing. That's great.
They can all go to UCF or the University of Florida on the company dime.
But who's going to pay for that? On the company dime, but at the end of the day, it's a publicly traded company, and they still have stockholders and board members to hit their numbers, so it has to come from somewhere.
No, it's free, Bill. It's all free.
I didn't realize that.
Yes, okay. It's just free. It's you know the free. Magic money? You've heard of that.
Yes, I need some of that in my life, I believe.
Yeah, it's free. It's just...
But let's get into it here. Should we talk some numbers? No, we're not good. Do you want to talk numbers here, sir? Yeah. Are you getting your calculator out? Is that what's going on?
I've got calculators. I've got spreadsheets.
Now, the thing that I am actually surprised by, are we just going to talk ticket prices first, or you want to save that for last?
We can save that for last. Is that what you were thinking, too, maybe?
Yeah. I just was looking at percentages, and I have a comment to make, but I will save that. Let's talk about the parking.
Yes. Okay.
So, I think you and I both... I'm trying to remember back to when we talked about it, but I believe you and I were both kind of surprised that they started charging for parking at the resorts.
Yeah.
And especially the amounts they came up with and the differences in the levels of resorts. Why are you charging $11 more to park at the Grand Floridian as opposed to Pop Century?
Oh, those rich bastards, Bill. Mm. They've got it.
I've heard that. The parking thing, and they're raising it pretty, so right now, to park at a value, it's $13 per night.
Mm-hmm.
Moderates are $19, and the deluxes are
$24. Yep.
Starting next year, the parking will be $15 at the values, $2 per night increase, $20 at the moderates, a $1 increase, and $25 at the deluxe is another $1 increase. So, percentage-wise, it's a small increase. But this is one of those where it just seems like a head-scratcher because they just introduced these and they got a lot of blowback, and I'm surprised they just went and raised it. Like, is it they're not meeting their number? Like, what were they expecting to make out of this? And they need to make... This one surprises me a little bit. I don't know. Are you surprised by it, or is it just going to be now on? That's just one of the things they're going to raise every things. Year.
Yeah.
Where's the breaking point, though? Like, are people going to pay $35 to park per night at the Grand Floridian in 3 years or 5 years or whatever it is? I guess you could say that about anything, and it just keeps going up. And obviously, they're not having problems with it. When you raise prices. That especially on like a service, that means you don't have the inventory, right? Is that you're the one who went to business school, so you're gonna have to fill me in on this. You went to one of the best business schools in New England, Bill.
In the New England, yeah.
If not the whole country.
I mean, why do they raise prices? Because they can?
Well, no, I'm not saying because they can. On a service like that, so let's say you operate a car wash. Mm-hmm. For instance, there's some set costs to that. Obviously, you know, you have to rent the building, you have to buy the materials, you have to pay for labor. But if your car wash, if you're charging $10 for a car wash and no one's going and your costs go up, you can't just raise prices, because if no one's already going and you raise prices, you're not going to get more customers. Like, you can't say, well, I didn't make enough money charging $10 because I only got three people to wash their cars per day, so I need to make $300, so I have to charge $100 per car. It doesn't work that way. But if you're charging $10 and you have lines up the street all day and you can't even get everybody into the car wash, then you raise the price and try to, like, make the same amount to get less people through the doors. Right. Is you think it's a case of that, or it's a case of there's a X percent of people that are going to pay no matter what, let's just milk it?
I think it's the latter, and I hate to be one of those who always bitch and complain, but I freaking hate this.
I hate the parking fees.
I hate it with a passion.
Because there's 1,000 empty spots at Pop Century. 1,000 empty spots at Port Orleans.
Like, you know why I hate it?
It's just a tax on the locals.
I think it's so tacky.
That too.
I mean, it's like when we were kids and we were all broke and like we'd go out and you'd drive this time and you know, you had to put gas in the car or whatever and all your buddies would pitch in $3, $2 or whatever. They'd be like, you know, I pick you up at the airport.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, you guys want to give me $2.50 for gas? You'd be like, yeah, I guess. Yeah, I mean, right. Kind of tacky, isn't it?
It is, but I mean, if you're broke, I get it.
No, I'm talking that whole gas thing.
Yeah, right.
It's like when we were kids,
right?
But like, if I looked at you now and said, "Hey, you want to give me $3 for gas?" You'd be like,
"Oh,
okay,
yeah,
okay,
yeah."
You know what I
right,
mean?
Exactly.
Like, that's weird. Like,
yeah, when you're 16 and you don't have two nickels to rub together, and you're running on fumes and you pull up to the gas tank, you're like, hey, can everyone pitch in $2? You're like, oh yeah, no right. problem. But right. now, like, if you pick me up at Tampa International Airport and you ask for like $6.83 from me and Schaefer, we're gonna right. kind of look at you a little funny.
Hey, that toll over the over the bridge is $1.20, so three ways about 40 cents.
All right, I'll bring some extra cash with me, I guess.
But that's what the parking is to me. Just put it into the room. It just looks like you're just trying to screw somebody and gouge somebody, and I just hate that.
And that's the thing. It's not like the rooms are super cheap. People like you, who you don't stay that often, but if you stayed 4 or 5 times a year, let's say you lived an extra hour further away in Florida, and you wanted to go up the same amount of times, but you didn't want to drive back every night, so you'd stay 2 nights in a row or whatever over the weekends. All of a sudden...
Mm-hmm.
Your trips just got, 20% more expensive just because you have to drive there? Even if you never used your car, you just got there, parked it, and took the buses and the boats around once you're on property? I don't know. I mean, I get what they're trying to do. I think the biggest reason they're doing this is to try to get people to not rent cars because they don't want them leaving. But it's becoming easier and easier to leave anyway with the rideshare, Uber, Lyft, that kind of stuff. I don't know. You're right. I just still don't understand the thought process behind this, but obviously it has not affected them at all because it's not like resort reservations went down. I think there's ways around it too. I think people have found a lot of loopholes to the parking fees.
Yeah, right.
Because you didn't get charged, right, when we stayed that one night at All-Star after last year's trip?
No, I didn't.
But why not? I mean, I don't know.
I have no idea.
We just pulled up because you should uh-huh. have because we were past the point where you should have gotten
yeah,
charged.
Right. Yeah, I know. I didn't get charged.
And you had your like they didn't say anything. They didn't get added to your folio at the end of the stay or anything. So I don't know. But I've heard stories of people that got charged and they didn't have a car. Like they got dropped off by somebody and they got charged and they had to go like dispute the charge at the end of their stay.
Right.
Like, is that the last thing you want to do on your checkout day? Is like, I didn't have a car. You know, I'm on the Magical Express. Now I got this $86 charge for like 5 days of parking. And how many people get that charge and don't even notice?
Oh, yeah.
They don't even look at it at the end of this. You know, like you said, just seems like nickel and dime and like very tacky. I guess that's I didn't think of that word, but once you said it, I definitely agree. It just is kind of like. I don't know. Just charge a little more for the rooms. They already charge. Like, no one's going to notice the increase in the rooms. That's the one thing that never gets any. Like, the room rates, they go up and they go up
but
and they go up.
Nobody says anything.
No one says anything about it. Like, it wasn't that long ago where you could get an All-Star for under $100. 3-4 years, maybe. You could get like a $97 rate for an All-Star for a night. Now the cheapest is like $135 if you're lucky. Like rack rate. I'm not saying with any discounts or anything. But you could find rack rates under $100 just a few years ago. And now, like, 125, I think 125 is the lowest rack rate that you're going to see anywhere.
Yeah, I very rarely see them below 100 anymore.
I don't think at all. I don't think it's been that way, no. Except the campsites.
And you could get, sometimes you could get the All-Stars for 79 or 89. That's with my Florida.
Well, the discount, I'm not counting the discounts. I'm talking just, like, regular rack rate for the low period is never that low. And even with discounts, it's hard to get them close to 100 unless it's a Florida discount, like you said. So you're already paying a lot for these rooms, and they could just build that in. Because for the amount of people that have cars, if it's 30%, that means you only have to raise it $4 per night across 100% of the rooms if you're trying to get $12 per night out of 30% of the rooms.
Right.
I mean, I'm not a math major, but I think I did that correctly. It's tough because we agree on this one, and there's a whole lot to say, but
no,
the amount they raised it doesn't really bother me. It's the fact that they have the charge at all. But I guess they're doubling down on it, because if they're going to just raise it, that means it's not going anywhere. They haven't had enough blowback on it that they're... Because it just brings publicity to it again. It's like, oh yeah, they're charging for parking. You almost forget about it. And then they raise it, and it's like, oh, why are they even charging for parking in the first place? So obviously it hasn't hurt them that much if they're not worried about that, and they're just going to raise it anyway. Should we move on to the dining plan? Or do you have any other parking thoughts you want to talk about?
No, it's just I don't like it. I think it's stupid.
Now, you want a conspiracy theory? You think they're trying to like push more business to those minivans?
No.
No. Because they've just announced like a big... They just had their like 1 millionth ride on that thing or something.
I just saw that, yeah.
So there's a lot going on with that. And they said Lyft is now the official rideshare partner at Disney World and Disneyland. I don't know what that means. Maybe it means they'll allow them to come into the gates now. Because at the Grand Floridian, I had to like walk and meet the guy somewhere.
Trying to use the Lyft because
they wouldn't let him in through the gates. But we'll see.
Yeah, they're strong-arming these people, aren't they?
Yeah.
It's going to be a matter of time before they won't let them know on property.
Oh, probably. I don't know how they would be able to enforce it besides just not letting them go through the gates. I mean, you could drive wherever you want, right?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's true. I mean, if they go to the Grand Floridian and they don't go through the gate, yeah, you're right. Yeah.
All right, so we'll move on to dining then?
Yes.
All right. So they increased the prices, or they will, starting in 2020. Not a whole heck of a lot. It looks like a standard, what, about $3 per night?
Yeah, I mean, when I looked at the pricing, it wasn't anything crazy.
This one doesn't really surprise me. You get the same entitlements, correct? You're getting the two quick serves, two snacks, and a mug on the quick serve. You're getting one table, one quick serve, two snacks, and a mug on the standard. And you're getting your three table, two snacks, and one mug on the deluxe. And they've all gone up about $3. So the quick serve's going to go from $52.50 to $55 per night for adults, $23.78 to $26 for a child. The standard is going to $78.01 from $75.49 and $30.51 from $27.98. The deluxe is up to $119 a night from $116.25. And the child deluxe is $47.50 up from $43.49. The one thing I did notice, and I think this is new, but I'm not sure, and I haven't looked into it too much, but it looks like the quick serve, you no longer get a dessert with the quick serve meal. Is that new for 2020, or was that, well, you never use it?
I don't remember there ever being one.
They used to get a dessert.
Maybe I'm wrong.
So I can't remember. When we were there, we had the quick serve in January. I remember trying to get like an extra snack, because I thought you got the dessert and you could use a snack, and they said, oh, you don't get that with breakfast anymore, but I think you still get the dessert with the lunch or dinner. But now it says each quick serve meal includes one entree and one beverage for breakfast, lunch, or dinner. So you don't get the dessert with your meal anymore on the quick serve. And that could be old. That could be from this year. I'm not even sure. And I used it this year, so that's bad. That's bad by me. The table serve, you get still the same thing, entree and a dessert, and then you get the appetizer if you're on the deluxe plan. So these things have not really been a value. I don't think the $3 per night makes it less worth it to the people that have been doing it.
No.
It wouldn't stop me from doing it for the $3, but just the overall price of it, I think, is a little high for what you get. You have to, like, plan to get your money's worth out of it instead of just going and being happy with what you get, which is too much work for me.
Yeah.
Like, you could take any of those dining plans and you could strategically plan and make it worth it for you, but is that what you want to eat? You know, do you want to have every sit-down meal be the most expensive character buffet just to get more bang for your buck out of it? Do you want every quick service you have to get the, you know, the rib and chicken platter at Flame Tree Barbecue?
Right.
Because that one's $19.99 and the hamburger's $11.99. It is nice to have it paid for ahead of time and just use the credits and not really have to worry. So part of the value is wrapped up in that for me. But I think, especially if you're an annual pass holder, with some of the discounts that you can get just through being an annual pass holder, and obviously if you have tables in Wonderland, there's no value in the dining plan. Because with your tables, I mean, you're getting 20% off almost everywhere, and a lot of quick serves. Not a lot, but select quick serves, you get the 20%. So there's no, like, when you go for your few nights, it wouldn't make sense for you to pay, what is it, $115 a night to do the deluxe. As much as the deluxe would be the way to go, because what you guys like to do on your anniversary trip is, you know, go to the fancy restaurant or go to all the restaurants, and, you know, you don't really hold back on what you're ordering at that point. And you could probably get your money's worth if you took out your 20% discount, but I don't think with tables you would get your money's worth. You know what I mean?
Right.
Unless you ate every meal at Yachtsman and ordered, you know, the most expensive thing each time, which wouldn't be the worst thing.
Mm-mm.
I think you could survive off that, couldn't you?
And that's why I like that plan. I like that deluxe.
I think it's
because I like the three meals. I like the fact that you can save one and do some.
Well, it's perfect for you because you're not going to have three sit-downs, most likely, in one day. So you're going to do, and you like to have a breakfast, so you can always do a sit-down breakfast.
Or a quick serve.
Well, you're not going
to. Or just switch it for lunch, you know, do a sit-down breakfast, quick serve for lunch.
Right. Well, you don't get a quick serve with the deluxe, so you could use, like, snacks, especially if you have, like, a bigger breakfast, and you have those.
No, but I'm saying you could pay out of pocket.
Oh, sure.
So, like, if you were going to have,
if you just wanted, you know, something quick,
save the two for a signature.
Right. I feel like that's the best way to do it. And then if you want, like, steak or lobster or something, then you go all out with that signature and really, you know, bang it out. But then you still have to tip on top of it.
Right.
And with Tables in Wonderland, you're saving you're basically getting the tip for free. So you have to work all that in. I don't know. We haven't really run the numbers on that lately, have we?
No.
We should probably do that for an episode coming up.
That's a good segue because we're gonna start doing shows where we're going to pick a dining plan and where we would eat.
Good. I like that.
And what we would eat. So, all right, we're going to spend a day at Epcot on a quick service dining plan. Where are we going to go?
Mm-hmm.
What would we normally order just to see if it's worth it?
Right. Like, not try to get the most out of it. Just what would you get and then see if you're getting your value out of it for that day. Working the cost of everything into it. Right. So I like that idea.
Mm-hmm. Because not only are we going to showcase what our favorite restaurants are in all the resorts and parks and stuff, but what we'd order and whether or not it's worth it to pay out of pocket or get the dining plan.
So that's good. So I like that. The thing is, though, and I guess we can get into it a little bit, but a lot of the things that they're doing, and they being Disney, raising the prices, they're taking away a lot of the value of staying on property. Like, the dining plan isn't as good of a value anymore, so you don't need to stay on property to be able to get the dining plan. You don't get free parking, so that's not an advantage to staying on property. They've basically eliminated extra magic hours altogether. They don't have those evening ones anymore. They're going to put some in now with the Star Wars thing opening up, but you remember when you used to, like, Magic Kingdom be open till like 11 and then you'd have, like, magic hours till 1 a.m.?
Yeah.
That was great. They don't do that anymore.
No.
They don't need to. They do, like, 1 hour in the morning and that's basically it. and nothing's open. Now they charge you to go in when the park's closed. Yeah, another $100 to go to the Magic Kingdom after it's closed. And people are like, it's great, no one's here. It's like, yeah, because people already paid $800 for the park tickets, and they don't want to spend an extra $100 to go for another 3 hours.
Right.
And don't get me wrong, those after-hours events definitely appeal to me because it looks really cool. Like, if you just want to ride rides, I think that's a great event. But they used to just give that away. You used to be able to do that with extra magic hours if you were staying on property. It's basically what it was. I mean, you've been in the parks at, you know, 12:30 in the Magic Kingdom, and just you could just ride anything you want, like, over and over again because there's not anybody left in the park at that point.
Right.
And it was great. It was a ton of fun. And they've just taken that away. So there's not a lot of value in staying on property as they raise these prices and they kind of start nickel and diming on this stuff. It's like, okay, where's the value to me as someone who comes once every couple of years with the family and goes to the parks a lot? Like, is staying at Pop worth it for me with all these extra caveats in there? Just for a room? I could do that.
You're starting to become a big fan of the Good Neighbor, aren't you?
Well, yeah. I mean, you look at what you get for the same money or less, and it's like, all right, so I can rent a car, and that's going to cost me $300 for the week, more than taking the Magical Express. But having the young kids, it's nice to be able to do different things, like go off and, you know, go to Gatorland or something. So right. I don't know if this is having the exact effect that they're hoping for. But then again, I think they have an inventory problem. So maybe they're trying to drive people away. Only the people who really, you know, don't care what they charge to stay on property are going to stay. I mean, I don't know. I can't really tell what's going on with this company, because on one hand, it seems like the hotels are always booked. You can never find a room. Certain one, like the high-end stuff you can always find. But like as far as the values and the moderates, it's tough to find just room, like standard rooms. Those all fill up really quick. And then you end up having to get like a water view or whatever. That's an extra $20 a night. It's like, oh man, this seems like they have an inventory problem. But then you look at some of the deals they're offering, like ticket deals and some of the packages they're offering before Star Wars opens, because I think they're seeing lower numbers because people are waiting for that. And it's like, so are they having problems with getting people there, or are they not? It's like, I can't figure out what's going on. But I think a lot of these increases that we're talking about are obviously in anticipation of all the people that are going to be coming to go to the stupid Star Wars things. I mean, that has to be 95% of the motivation behind it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know.
Going to be massive demand.
Massive demand. And I get it. I mean, they have to keep raising prices. They can't fit the people. I mean, think of I don't know what the capacity of Hollywood Studios is going to be once Star Wars Land is open. I don't really know the capacity of each park, but I imagine the first, week, month, it's going to just reach capacity every day with the amount of people that are going to be going to that stupid thing. Maybe not. Maybe I'll be surprised. People love it, though. They love the one in Disneyland, don't they? People are tripping over themselves to give the best reviews of that thing.
Oh, my God. That started to get disgusting, didn't it?
All right, so you ready to get to the piece de resistance? The annual pass prices that have gone up substantially.
Yes.
That's a lot of scratch they've gone up. Like, they didn't really blush at doing this increase, did they?
No. Oh, God, no.
Now, what the first thing I want to mention here, and this was what I was going to mention right away, but I waited, is that usually they kind of pork the Florida residents, and it seems like they spared you guys a little bit, percentage-wise anyway.
Maybe percentage-wise.
25% increase for the Platinum Pass for non-Florida residents. 25%! I mean, and that's not going from $7.50 to $8.95. That's going from $894 to $1,119 for an annual pass for a non-Florida resident. So that's people that have to fly in, you know, get a hotel
room. Stay at their hotels.
Yeah. Eat or do all that stuff. Like, I mean, if you're a Florida resident, I mean, which one do you get? Platinum or Platinum Plus?
I got the Platinum Plus.
So what's the difference between the Platinum and the Platinum Plus? The water parks?
The water parks, yep.
I mean, it's still not... I mean, that's only $100 more for the water parks, but have you gone in the last year to the water parks?
Yes.
How many times?
Twice. Two or three times. We go two or three times.
Okay, so it's probably still worth paying the extra $100.
Oh, no doubt, yeah.
But it's still so much. I mean, man, that's a lot of money. If to be in Florida, you'd still have to pay $1,000. So the Platinum Plus, the plan you have, went up from $850. So you were paying $1,700 between the two of you for that pass, right? So $170 a month, something like that?
About $62 a piece because they actually bill you separately. So, okay. Yeah, so $124.
To $1,000. So you're going to be paying $2,000.
Right.
A year to go there.
Yeah, I am, yeah.
And how many, I mean, you go up, I mean, you have to go up at least 10 times at a single day ticket. If you,
yeah, which is definitely doable, especially like, you know, when.
And you go up a lot, but I don't know, 10, I mean, you go up because you have it. Would you go up 10 times?
I don't know.
It's almost to the point where, because you like the resorts and stuff more, it'd almost be worth it to go there. And just if you want to go in, you just pay at the gate and be like, is it worth the $100? And then, I don't know, would you end up spending $1,000 on tickets for yourself throughout the course of the year? I don't know.
No.
But there'd be times you would want to go in if you had the annual pass just to do like one thing, where obviously you wouldn't do that. Like if you want to meet somebody for dinner at Teppanito when that's all you do, you're not going to spend an extra $117 to go into Epcot just to eat at Teppanito. Well, you might, but most people
won't. Yeah, yeah, I might.
That turns it to an expensive Japanese restaurant at that point, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
$117 plus the $55 for the meal.
And then on top of it, I'll usually just go to Katsura Grill for the soup.
That's true, after or before?
Yeah, exactly.
That's crazy. All right, so let's break down these prices. So let's start with Florida. The Epcot After Four, which I still contend is one of the coolest tickets, and that would be something...
If you lived there, it would be great.
Well, if I lived there, I would have a regular pass, but... I mean, what a great way to dip your toes in. Up from up to $309 from $289, a 7% increase, not too bad. Weekday Select is up 9% from $319 to $349. The Silver is up 8% from $479 to $519. The Gold is up 15% from $609 to $699. So you notice the percentages, as the people who want to go more and more, the percentages go higher and higher. So it's like if you're a weekday select person, you're most likely just going to let it lapse. Because if you're only going on Wednesdays three times a year, you're just going to say, forget it. I just won't go. Same with the Epcot After Four. So they could do a nominal 7%, and you're like, okay, whatever, it's an extra $20, I'll still do it. But all of a sudden, you get up to that Gold Pass, and you're at 15%, up from $609 to $699. And those are the people who want to go a lot. They get some of those blackout dates, but they want to go, you know, quite a bit. And it's like, all right, so now it's an extra $90. Is that still worth it? And it's like, well, I love going there, so I'm going to pay it. You know, I feel like they're taking advantage of the people who want it more. But I guess that's what they should do, right? That's good business, isn't it?
Yeah.
The Platinum is up 20% from $749 to $899. And the Platinum Plus is up 18% from $849 to $999. Non-Florida, like I said, is where they really get poor. 25% increase. That's a lot. That's a high percentage. Up from $894 to $1,119, $1,119 for an annual pass. And the Platinum Plus is up 23% from $994 up to $1,219. Crazy money on that. But still, I mean, if you look at it, it depends on the kind of trips you take. So if you go down twice and do like a 5-day, you're basically close to the Platinum. If you do like a 5-day park hopper. But I was pricing some tickets out. You don't start saving money until you get past the 5 or 6 day mark. Now, you used to kind of get a little break at like the 3 or 4. Now, like you said, you paid more for a 2-day pass, right? When you went to Epcot with your father-in-law, it would have cost more for a 2-day passed and 2 1-day passes. And the 3-day, you don't save pretty much anything. 4, you save a little bit. I think it goes from like $103 average to like $94. So you save a little bit. But then you get up to like the 10-day. I did the math. I didn't write it down because this was a couple weeks ago. But to go from a 3-day to a 5-day, one park per day pass costs an extra $80, I think. So those extra 2 days, you're not paying much to get those extra 2 days. But what good does that do if you're not in town for that amount of time?
Correct.
You know, when I'm there, if I want to go to Epcot twice, it's like, well, I could buy a 5-day pass for only, you know, $100 more, but it's like, well, I'm not going to be there for 5 days. What good does that do me? And then an annual, I don't know. It's just becoming, it's getting hard for me to afford it. I'm not saying it's not still a good value to go, because we talked about that a few weeks ago, where you could definitely get $100 worth of enjoyment or whatever, $120 worth of enjoyment out of a 12-hour day at Magic Kingdom or Epcot or Animal Kingdom. Notice I excluded Hollywood Studios there. And you could definitely get that amount of value out of it. But guess what? I have a family of 4. So that's $500 for me to go for 1 day. Mm-hmm. Am I getting $500 of value out of it? Now that changes the equation for me, don't you think?
Yeah.
So now I got to try to get $500 of value out of it, getting there for 12 hours with 2 young kids. It's really, really tough. And, I mean, kids' tickets aren't much cheaper. What, like $5 cheaper per day or something like that? You don't really save anything.
Yeah, not really, no.
And then annual passes. It's like, okay, so now you try to go 2 or 3 times a year, so you get the annual passes. So now I got to spend $5,000 to get annual passes to go down, and now I got to go down 3 times to make it worth it. And I'm, you know, so now I'm into Disney for $15,000 for the year to get annual mm-hmm. passes. It's, you know, I mean, think about it. How an average trip, if I go for a week with airfare, food, hotel for a family of 4 with Disney tickets, it's going to cost me close to $5,000, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could do it for 35, but, you know, if you want to stay at a moderate or at a decent place, $200 a night, whatever, I don't, it's tough. It's really tough to afford it. I still love Florida. Ridiculous. And I still don't think, I don't blame Disney for doing it, because they're going to still, people are not going to stop buying the tickets. They're not going to stop buying the annual passes. And until they do, Disney will not lower prices or stop raising prices anyway. And that is perfectly fine. I understand it. I'm not complaining that the prices are higher. I just don't know if I'm going to be able to afford to bring my family as much as I would love to, because I have a great time when I'm there with the family. But you know what? I had a great time when we stayed at Port Orleans and we didn't go to the parks too.
Oh, totally.
But I could do that off property. Guess what? I could stay at some place for half the price that I paid for Port Orleans, get a 3-bedroom suite, and drive to Disney Springs and do the same stuff. Drive to Fort Wilderness like we did and hang out at the campground and ride the pony. Like, we could do all the Disney off property stuff, and then we could still go, we can go to Gatorland, we can go to, you know, the Crayola thing that my daughter's like. You know, there's plenty to do in Central Florida, believe it or not. I know we talk about Disney, but there's a lot of other stuff out there. And remember we were talking about Gatorland, and I think I messaged you. I said, you can get an annual pass to Gatorland for $59 or something like that. It really brings into perspective,
I know,
how much, you know, how much more you get, or how much more they get anyway. And I'm not saying you can compare Gatorland to Disney World. They're very different experiences. I'm sure Gatorland's like, what, a 3-4 hour experience. Yeah. You know, you're not going to spend all day there, and that's fine, but that's probably more worth it for where my family is right now with the young kids. I'd rather go someplace like that and be able to spend 3 hours and have
go
fun.
Go back to the room and go do something
else. Yeah, it costs me $150. You get lunch there, go back, swim, you know, go out to a nice restaurant and just call it a day. I mean, that's a better day for me and my family than, you know, trying to rope drop Magic Kingdom with 2 kids under 5 and go until midnight and, like, make sure they ride as many rides as possible so I feel like I'm getting my money's worth out of it. Things are changing, Billy.
Yeah, they are.
I still like it. It's just I don't think I can afford it.
It's definitely getting to be that point, isn't it?
It is for me. I mean, as a local, you can still justify it because you could pay monthly. I mean, if I could pay monthly, there's a chance I'd be an annual pass holder right now. Just slip in that, you know, slip in that $100 a month. Option. Yeah, I don't get that. Like, I don't understand why they do have it as an option for Florida and not others.
Here's my take. I think people who have APs who live away from Florida are coming down here anyways, and they're going to spend their money on tickets.
Mm-hmm.
I think for this is more of a luxury, and if we get more people on a payment plan, like maybe they figured out 40 to 50% of the people who live here wouldn't buy these passes.
Right.
If they had to throw the cash up front.
Mm-hmm. But there has to be some percentage of those people out of state that would do the same thing. I mean, I'd be willing to pay like a service charge to pay monthly and do it. You know what I mean? Like if they say you could do monthly payments for an extra $3 a month, I'd pay $50 more a year to do mm-hmm. payment plan on an annual pass. Absolutely. I don't understand that mentality of it.
I think that's got to be the reason, though.
Why is that?
That they have it for the Florida residents and not the out-of-state residents.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
Is that it's more of an impulse purchase, and it's easier to pay $100 a month than, what is it now, $9.99?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Anyway, any other thoughts on the on any of the stuff we're talking about? You're gonna renew your annual passes next year?
Yeah, I mean, but everybody has a breaking point,
right? I mean, if it's $2,000 per person per year, you might say, you know what, maybe I will join the country club for 12 months.
Yeah,
instead.
Yeah, and just play golf. Yeah, exactly.
Right.
No, everybody's got their breaking point
because you know what, you can still go for your anniversary trip and buy a 3-day pass,
right,
and have fun. And you can go and buy a 1-day pass or whatever if you really want to get in the park, or just go up and hang out at the Grand Floridian like you like to do.
Right.
You know, the amount of times you go up and don't go in a park is probably equal to the amount of times you do.
Oh, if not more.
So you're not losing out if you don't get your annual pass. You'd probably start to miss it a little, though. You like being in Epcot. I know that.
Yeah, I do.
So that'd be tough. But you could get that stupid after 4 thing. That would be actually perfect for you. Because you usually don't get up there early in the day anyway.
It's fantastic if you live up there.
And you go up to Epcot 8 out of 10 times when you go in the parks anyway.
Yeah, yep.
I mean, that's a pretty good one for you. And then they still have those other offers for, like, Florida residents. If you're not an AP, you can get that, like, $79 per day pass that you get to go to, like, 3 times within 3 weeks or something. Like, they have those kind of deals once in a while. Trying to draw people in. I don't know. I think I could save you money. Maybe I'll be your financial advisor and get you out of an annual pass.
Are you going
to
do that?
Yeah, I might. We're going to have to run the numbers. Maybe for 2020, we'll have to like keep a tab of how many times you actually go through the gates and see what you're paying each time you go in the park with your pass. With the increased price and everything and how much you go up there, it'd be interesting to see if you get your money's worth out of it. I don't know. What do you think?
We could start a spreadsheet if you
like. I mean, you're happy with it, though. So you're not upset. You're not looking to really change things up at this point.
No, not now. No.
Because you're a good candidate for like the gold, or like I said, the after 4 thing, because you're super flexible. You'll go up on a whim, but you want to be able to go up if someone's in town. That's your biggest thing.
Yeah, I mean, the gold is okay, but you have, you know, you got Christmas and April vacation where.
Right. So if someone's in town, you want to be able to go see them. I get that aspect. I don't know. I'm ready to take another break. What about you?
I'm ready for a break.
If I were a rich man, yabba-dibba-dibba-dibba-dibba-dibba-dibba-dum, all day long I bidi-bidi-bum. If I were a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work hard, yabba-dibba-dibba-dibba-dibba-dibba-dibba-dum. If I were a bidi-bidi-rich, idle-diddle-diddle-diddle man, I'd build a big tall house with rooms by the dozen right in the middle of the town. A fine tin roof with real wooden floors below. There would it be one long staircase just going up, and one even longer coming down, and one more leading nowhere just for sure.
All right, we're back. I always get so worked up when we talk money on this podcast, because I feel like it's such a, like, it's a common thing. Most people that love Disney, I feel like they're in the same socioeconomic class as us. At least the people that listen to us are probably in line with, you know, where we are. And, you know, I'm sure there's people that make more or make less than, you know, than I do and things like that. But I don't think many of our listeners are impervious to the price increases, where they're like, well, it doesn't matter. You know, they're not staying concierge. We're not getting a lot of those people staying concierge for 3 weeks and all that.
You know
stuff.
Who's bitching about them?
Who's that?
People who don't go.
Well, that is very true.
That's who it is. It's the people who don't go, never have gone, never will.
And they wouldn't go
anyway.
They
sit around and they pick their nose and they complain about the evil Disney company who doesn't pay their people, doesn't give them benefits, doesn't do this, doesn't do that. Shut up.
And I kind of get that hand-wringing and that it's just an easy target. Mm-hmm. But there are a lot of Disney people that do complain, but then they keep going. So if you gotta complain with your wallet. If it truly is too much, then just stop going. Cancel your trip, right? Just tell them you're canceling your trip because it's too expensive. And at some point, if every hotel room is sitting empty because it's too expensive, if the parks are empty because no one's buying tickets, they'll have to adjust to the market. You know, if there's a recession and the economy goes down, guess what? There'll be a lot of deals out there to go to Disney World.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what happened post 9/11 when travel, you know, went way down because of terrorism. And there were a lot of deals to go down there because guess what? Everyone canceled their vacations.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
You know, people weren't going to get on a plane.
I mean, that's what postponed
that Art of Animation ended up.
Yeah,
because they were going to make the golden years or whatever they called it. Yeah, so there's a lot of things that can happen, obviously. Same thing like, 10 years ago when the recession was going, you know, you could find a room pretty cheap.
Mm-hmm.
But guess what? The economy's pretty good right now. People have some discretionary income and they spend it on vacations. And Disney's just striking while the iron's hot. They got the Star Wars Land thing coming. They know they're going to bring tons of new people in. And they're gonna wring them dry. And hey, that's what capitalism's all about. They're a business. They need to make money. That's their biggest priority, is to make a profit, right?
Yes.
So they're doing what they feel is best. And until they hit that breaking point where people stop going, they're gonna keep raising prices. And you know what? Most likely, between the two of us, we'll both be spending money.
Of course we will.
You know, we're gonna be playing golf there. They're getting my money either way. Maybe just not as much. I think they are going to start losing some people, but they're going to make up for it. And the people that won't stop no matter what, and they're just going to get more out of them. And they're going to get a different segment of people. And that's fine. I don't bother. You know, people complain that first class airline tickets are expensive. Well, guess what? It's not for me. People will pay it. They don't go empty very often, do they?
No.
So obviously there's a market for it. I don't have anything else to add. It's just coming. It's becoming an economics class by someone who doesn't really know what he's talking about. And then there's me. Boo.
Boo.
No, I mean, out of the two of us, I would defer to you on that. I'm not upset by the increases.
It is what it is.
I just don't think it's going to be a family vacation destination year after year for me anymore. It's turning into that once every 4 year, 5 year thing where you save up and it's like, all right, now this is the year we're going to do our big vacation. We'll do like the little road trip, stay for a couple days in Maine or something like that. And oh, this is the Disney year, you know, which kind of stinks because I liked going all the time. I would love to go more often, but you know, you only get so much vacation time. You only have so much discretionary income, and to use it all there is tough, especially when, you know, then all of a sudden it's like, all right, so we can go to Disney for 1 week and do nothing else for the rest of the year. Or we can do, you know, three different trips locally where we can drive within 6 hours and have 3 weeks of vacation for the same amount of money. It's that's kind of where I'm at now. And that makes me sad because I'd rather just go to Disney every year, to be honest.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, if I was living up there, me too.
So now it's going to become a Florida thing. Instead of just Disney. And I'm okay with that.
It's not a bad thing.
Not a bad thing at all. All right, let's wrap this thing up. We're over 1 hour now.
Okay.
Getting punchy here. We're going to start getting into like some heavy politics here. We'll start alienating people if we haven't already. Should we talk about our social media here?
Yeah, go ahead.
How's your YouTube page doing? What'd you post this
week? We've got another one coming up. This week we did, I did the boat ride back.
Boat ride, that's right. Now what do you have on deck for this week?
We're going to do a little Great Britain. What's the name of that band?
The British Invasion? That them? They're not that anymore? I don't know the name.
No, who is it, Bill? Let's see. What are we working on now? Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, fair enough. So they'll be featured.
But it's a band who plays behind Great
Britain. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. All right, well, you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, WDWBTG. Our webpage is WDWBTG.com. Subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play. Tune in. Leave reviews. Leave comments. Leave everything. Subscribe. Do all that fun stuff. You can email the show info@WDWBTG.com. You can email me, Gary@WDWBTG.com. And you can email Mike@WDWBTG.com. Why don't you give that YouTube a shout out? How do you get to that?
Just go to YouTube and search for WDW or just Beyond the Gates Pod. Or what is it? WDW Beyond the Gates. I'm sorry.
Okay, there you go. We make it simple. Just go to YouTube. It's a webpage. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's called YouTube.com. They play like you can put videos on there. It's pretty cool.
It is.
It's been around for a couple weeks now? Really on the
at least
on the cutting edge.
Yeah.
Maybe more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, check it out. We like that. We probably spend more time watching other people's YouTubes than we do on our own YouTube page.
I love YouTube. It's fantastic.
It's a great invention. That'd be one of the hardest things to live without. If you'd like, I don't consider that a social media, but like as far as internet stuff, like that'd have to be like a top five draft pick of things you wouldn't want taken away from the internet, right?
Oh God, no! I couldn't live without it.
It's tough. Like, yeah, I think that'd probably be like email. I don't care about email. I don't get emails that are important. Like, you can take away email, you could take away Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all that stuff. I think YouTube would have to be my number one draft pick. That and then maybe
mine
Reddit.
Too.
I like Reddit. I know that's kind of a different animal.
I don't know what Reddit is. Reddit is.
It's a weird, like, message board kind of aggregation site thing. I don't know. It's a strange website. Hard to explain, but I do spend a lot of time there as well. It's not like a social media, though, so I can't really plug our own page on there. Anyway, this has been episode number 277 of the WDW Beyond the Gates podcast with Mike and Gary. For my co-host Mike, my name is Gary, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Now it's time to say goodbye to all our company. M-I-C.
See you real soon.
K-E-Y.
Why? Because we like you.
M-O-R-E.